my side. Yeah, it's sad. It's my last Sunday for this year. Yeah, I'm going to miss you guys too. Yes. Just welcome my wife back. She wasn't here for 4 weeks. She was in Cape Town with the daughter, and then she was ministering in Bloemfontein, and they were ministering in a place called Memel. But I'm glad she's here as well. Her name is Anna. She asked me, do the people know my name? I said, I don't know. So if you can't remember, it's Jan and Anna. It's Janas, so you can't forget it. Let us pray. Father, we are excited this morning. We've just sang songs of victory, Lord. You are our defender. You are the overcomer. And Lord, this morning, we desire a connection between heaven and earth. Lord, that will create an explosion of new beginnings in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you look at new beginnings, that's our theme for this morning. Now, the Hebrew word for new beginning is barashit. Now, barashit means long before any existence or anything started. But it also means forming of or to create. Now, so often, I don't know you, but people are telling you that something is new. But it's mere a redesign or an upgrade of a former or an old thing. Like your house. It's old, but you paint it and it looks new. But when God is going to do something, and He's going to do it today, when He does something new, it is brand new. Something you've never experienced before. Never in your life. How many times in your life has God done something new? Totally outside your comfort zone. Totally outside what your expectations or even your hope is. You see, God is the specialist. He specializes in new beginnings. He is the beginning of all things. He is the end of all things. He is the Alpha. He is the Omega. There's new beginnings in the physical. Like having a new profession, getting a new job, a new relationship. This is all things in the physical. But there's a difference when it comes to the new beginnings in the spiritual. Because that is like entering into a new season in your spiritual life. Or entering into something new that God has created for you. Last week we looked at the life of Hagar. And we saw a young slave woman in the middle of the desert. In despair, hopeless and lost. But we also saw and heard that the God who sees have saved her out of this. And He gave her a brand new beginning. God wants to give you and me a fresh start this morning. A fresh impartation and a new beginning. Now, God wants us first of all to come and focus on your Barashit day. Which is that day when you were saved by Jesus Christ. You see, that was when your journey of a new life with Jesus Christ have started. Then I want to read in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Look, all the old things have passed. Behold, all things have become new. You know, that day that I got saved, even my dogs were barking at me. They didn't recognize me. See, this is what God wants. You must change to a new. You cannot be conformed to the old things anymore. But it's right here in this moment where God is positioning me and you today to let go of the past and to embrace this new thing, this new love that He has for us. But there's a question I want to ask them. If we know this then this morning, I see many say amen. If we know this, why do we struggle to let go of the past? One of the reasons is that we haven't fully surrendered our former life to God to create it into something new. I want to read a verse there in Ephesians 4, verse 22 to 24. And it says, get rid of your old self, which made you live as you used to. The old self that was being destroyed by deceitful desires. Our hearts and minds must be completely new. And we must put on the new self, which is created in God-likeness and reveals itself in the true life that is upright and holy. That's what we need to do. So many times we also find ourselves dwelling on the memories of the past. How many of you experienced that? And the reason for that is our enemy, Satan, loves it to remind us of our past. That is one of the things, and he brings fear and all those things. And he comes by doing that, reminding of the past. He's stealing the seed of a new beginning and opportunities to new beginnings that God wants to do in your life. Also, let's remind Satan what God says in Isaiah 65, 16 to 17. God says to you today and me, I am doing a new thing. Because the former troubles are forgotten and hidden from my eyes, I will create a new heaven, a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind, in Jesus' name. You see, God is longing to bring something new onto you today. He's longing for that every day. He says that he longs to make us new every day. Every second of every moment, there is an opportunity for me and you for a new beginning. But we miss it sometimes. You see, why do we miss it sometimes? Because sometimes we try out of our own power to help God along into a new beginning. I want to tell you a story of a butterfly. You see, this man was one day watching this cocoon with a butterfly inside. And this butterfly was struggling for hours and hours. And later this man, and he saw this small little hole. And this man couldn't take it anymore. And he took a scissor and he just cut open the hole bigger so the butterfly can free itself. So at last, the butterfly freed itself. But what he saw was not a butterfly. It was a deformed creature that was crawling around with no wings, with a body that was swollen. And he thought, what is happening? What he didn't know is that God has created the butterfly like this. It has to struggle for 10 to 14 days in this cocoon, forcing itself through that small hole. Because by that forcing and that struggle and the high adrenaline, it releases a special liquid through the body into the wings that's forming the wings and bringing color to light. And this man came and he tried to help God's creation and it was deformed. How many of us sit here this morning and maybe we have Jesus in our life, but we are deformed in the spirit. And people cannot recognize us as butterflies for him. You see, the secret is the butterfly needed to struggle. And God sometimes allows and leaves us to struggle. And while we are struggling in life, so that he can release that special, that living water, the Holy Spirit, into our veins so that we can be freeing ourselves out of this struggle into a new beginning. You see, this process is called spiritual growth into maturity. Spiritual growth. And that's not an easy way always. There's struggles. We need to understand. I say it over and over. Nowhere in the Bible says that when you're going to follow Jesus, it's going to be easy. You see, we look at Job. His story was one of struggles from beginning to end almost. But he received the promise of God. And this is the promise God wants to give you as well this morning. And that's in Job 8 verse 7. Your beginning may be small, but later years will be great. You see, God has another promise in Ecclesiastes 7, 8. He says, the end of a matter is better than its beginning. The former things pass away and all things are made new. God doesn't remember our past. He is ready to give us a fresh start. You see, by this we need to know this morning that it's important that we can experience many new beginnings in different seasons of our life. Now you would say, but how is that possible? Let's look at Moses. Moses, as a small baby, the Pharaoh of that age said, all babies under this age must be killed. So his mother saved his life by placing him in a basket in the Nile, abandoning him, making an orphan of Moses. But he was adopted by the Pharaoh's daughter, who raised him as a prince in the palace. Later, because of a murdering a fellow Egyptian, he was fleeing. He became a fugitive from prince to fugitive, ending up in the desert as a shepherd. But then God came and he took him from shepherd to a great leader leading his people out of slavery. So God comes and shows us in this that the end result of a new beginning in life can be far more valuable than the beginning. We mustn't get stuck in the beginning. So many people get stuck that day when they get saved. They're so happy they're saved and they're going to heaven. And they stay there. They don't grow. See, Moses was from basket to deliverer. Jesus was from crib to cross to the King of Kings. What about Esther? A fatherless young orphan that became queen and became the deliverer and savior of her people. God comes this morning and he says in Isaiah 43 verse 19, this is for you this morning and for me. Watch for the new thing I am going to do. It is happening already. You can see it now. I will make a road in the wilderness and give you streams of water there. Listen, can you hear the stream this morning? God promises us today that despite of all your disappointments, of all your spiritual failures, that by the mercy of Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit, he's going to take us from slavery into victory. That's where our new beginning will start. In Titus 3 verse 5, he says, he saved us. It was not because of any good deeds that we ourselves had done, but because of his own mercy that he saved us through the Holy Spirit, who gives us new birth and new life by washing us. Say, new life. God promises us today a new beginning, but he wants to do something new in a new way today. He doesn't want us to get to not one day more that you need to be stuck in the wilderness. God says to you and me this morning, he will do a new thing, create rushing rivers in your dry wastelands of your spiritual life, and he will clear the path through your darkest times. And that's a promise. You see, God wants to impregnate each and every one of us today with a seed of a new beginning. He wants to impregnate us with a new seed of new beginnings. There's many examples in the Bible of where people were carrying a new seed for a new beginning. Let's take the first one. Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist. Now, she carried the seed of John, who was the preparer. He was elected to be the preparer of the way of Jesus. He was also the one who baptized Jesus when Jesus received the Holy Spirit. Virgin Mary, who carried and birthed a seed of new life called Jesus Christ. King David, a seed of the genealogy of Jesus. He's a great-grandfather. Saul, who was persecuting the Christians, becoming one of the greatest pioneers in the Bible that is written a lot about, where he was the one sowing the seed of new life, the seed of the new gospel of Jesus. You might be here this morning searching for a new beginning in your life, or maybe even in different areas of your life. God says, I can fulfill in every area of your life. I can even come and give you a new beginning in your jobs, in your profession this morning. Let's look at a man called Levi. He was a tax collector who was also collecting tax from his fellow Jews. But the day he got saved and he received the seed of salvation, that day he became somebody new. He became an apostle called Matthew. God will even change your name in the spirit. God says, I want to give you a new beginning in your context today. You see, the thing is, I said with purpose, each one of us is different. You've got a different context. Your context is where you stay, who you are, what's your gender, what your profession is, how many children you have, what car you drive. That is your context. God says, I want to give you a new beginning in your context. But first, get rid of the past. Let's think of Isaiah. In his context, he was a man with anxiety. The Bible says he was an anxious prophet who dwelt on the former things of the past. And in Isaiah 43, 18, God says, but the Lord says, do not cling to the events of the past or dwell on what happened long ago. That's also what God is telling us this morning. God is encouraging each one of us today to change our mindsets. God wants to change our mindsets to focus on the new thing that God wants to do today. Let go of the old. Let go of the former things in your life today. And experiencing the new possibilities of new beginnings that God has in His plan for you. Ephesians 4, verse 22 to 24, it's written, "So get rid of your old self, which made you live as you used to. The old self that is being destroyed by its deceitful desires. Your hearts and minds must be made completely new. And you must put on the new self, which is created in God's likeness and reveals itself in the true life that is upright and holy." Amen? You see, God wants to give you a new beginning in your purpose this morning. Let's look at Nehemiah. He was the official cupbearer for the king. But he was burdened with his people that was in slavery. He was burdened with the fact that he heard that the wall of Jerusalem came down. And that says that the king saw his compassion for his people. And this is interesting. And he granted him time off. It didn't stop there. And also gave him the supplies to rebuild the wall. So what God is doing, He uses your enemies even to bring about a new beginning in your life. You see, God promises us a new beginning every single day. Think of Jeremiah. He suffered so many personal affirmation, struggles, pain. He was wandering around weeping all day. We can read about it. Around, and he was alone. But yet God reminded him that. In Jeremiah 3 verse 22 to 23, "His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is my faithfulness." It's God speaking. In actual fact, God says every single day offers us a new beginning, a chance to start over. A chance to start over. God is asking this morning, do you want a new, fresh start today? A fresh start with a new beginning, leaving all the old behind. It's like a bride when they freshen her up the day that she walks down the aisle. I know all the husbands that you're not, when she comes down the aisle, it's something new that you've never seen or experienced before. And remember, we are the bride of Christ. He wants to be excited when He sees us coming down the aisle. Because He says, you started your journey of a new beginning the day that you were crowned son and daughter of God. But do you sit here this morning? And like sometimes in my life, you experience this emptiness, this loneliness, this powerlessness. It feels sometimes the power of the Holy Spirit, the fire is lacking in your life. God says He wants to propel us into a new season, into new and higher dimensions of our spiritual lives today. See, we need to understand the fire of the Holy Spirit for this new beginning is a gift that dwells within us. The holy fire is the one who will uncover our gifts and our passions for Jesus. You see, that's why Jesus made a promise of a new gift in the Holy Spirit. And He says there in John 14, verse 16 to 17, "And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another counselor to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you." So God is giving us this gift of the Spirit. But one thing, He's not responsible for keeping or maintaining the fire in your life. You see, we need to fan up the flames in our lives. God wants us to fan up the flames of our life because we are in a holy partnership with God. The day you gave your life to Christ, you're in a holy partnership with God. Submitting to His will. And then keep on fanning the flame. And is it your and my responsibility, not God's? I want to read you in 2 Timothy 1 verse 6. "For this reason, I am reminding you to fan into flames the gift of God that is within you." We need to keep this fire alive. We need to keep it. It's like the, The five virgins and what was it? Yeah. The five wise? Yes. What happened? Their fires died out. This is exactly what God is speaking. There's coming a day. You will not hear Him coming because your fire would have died. So let's keep that fire burning. Because it's also written in the Bible, one of the things you can do to the Spirit, you can quench the fire of the Holy Spirit. It's written. Now, Paul comes and he gives us a warning about our personal responsibility in Romans 12, verse 11. He says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. What he says is, never be lazy in showing such devotion. Be on fire with the Spirit. Serve the Lord. Now, this spiritual fervor, if you translate it, it means boiling hot, very warm, earnest, excited, glowing. It's like a hot fire. You see, God wants to do a new thing in your life today. He wants to come, and you must allow Him to ignite this fire again. But let's look at what way, how do we start a fire? Now, first of all, you begin to add some, what do they mean? Tinder, no? Tinder. Kindling and tinder. Tinder is like leaves and paper and very fine wood. And then you start the fire. And then you would spend time blowing and breathing and making so that this fire starts. Now that part, that tinder, is the search and the desire and the hunger for more knowledge of the Holy Spirit. You see, for us to start on the fire, you must have a hunger and a thirst for the Holy Spirit this morning. You need to have that hunger. You cannot sit and wait all day long. You cannot sit and not be excited. Then you spend time with Jesus. And you ask Him what His plans are for you. How does He want you to, what's the best ways in fanning your personal flame in your life? And He will reveal it to you. Then the next step of a fire is now you come and you need small sticks, small timber that you put onto this fire you've started, this coals. And then the moment that takes on fire, this is what God means by putting on timber little by little. The Word of God, every day of your life, little by little, you'll put every day. You can't stop doing that because the fire's going to die. And also little by little, your worship and your prayer every day will keep this fire going. And then only then, we come in with the bigger logs. They will put on the big, to make this big bonfire for God. And this consists of constantly spending time in the Word of God. Constantly spending time at your personal altar, at your family altar, at your church altar. But daily. Because this will raise up and ignite the flames in your life. And this must be the solid foundation of your spiritual life. You see, the Bible comes and it teaches us that we receive the Holy Spirit the moment we surrender and give our lives to Jesus. We all know that. The moment that you give your life to Jesus, there's an infilling of the Holy Spirit. But there's another second work, baptism, that many people miss. Yes, we must go with Peter and them. There was people that gave their lives the first time, that at the same time that they received the Spirit, they also were baptized. That can happen. But however, when we receive the Spirit, this is not the end. But it's the beginning of something bigger and more powerful in your life. See, Jesus wants to do this new thing in your life this morning. In John 20, verse 20 to 22, this is a scene where Jesus, that took place after Jesus rose from the dead and appeared to the disciples. And they were standing there in verse 22. Now, many people wonder, where did the disciples, did you ever read where the disciples have given their lives to Jesus? They were just following Him. But where they actually submit, did you? That's right here, in 22. And He says, and Jesus then said this to them. He breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit, the Parakletos. That moment when He breathed upon them, that was a receival and indwelling Holy Spirit in the disciples at that moment. But then in Acts 1:5, something else happened. And Jesus said, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit a few days from now. Now this passage clearly says that They received the Holy Spirit when Jesus breathed on them, but a promise of baptism in 40 days. That was the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He also further promised Jesus, you shall receive power when my Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Let's read in Acts 2, 3 what happened. Then they saw, it was this fearsome, this rushing wind that came through the upper room. And then they saw what looked like fiery tongues moving in all directions. And a tongue came and settled on each person there. You see, God is God. And he wants to ignite the Holy Spirit for you, because that's why it wasn't one fire for everyone, like with Elijah. Each and every person received this impartation of the Holy Spirit that day and was baptized. Baptism is a personal thing. Verse 4, the Holy Spirit took control of everyone, and they began speaking whatever languages the Spirit let them speak. You see, what's the reason? What's the reason behind the baptism of the Holy Spirit? The baptism of the Holy Spirit is the empowerment for your ministry. You see, we can be saved and infilled with the Holy Spirit, but it's like going into to do supernatural things with limited power. You'll be able to minister, but you'll do it with limited power where there's supernatural things. Illustration I want to give this morning. This is the Holy Spirit. Now, I've drank it from a cup. It's inside me. I've got the Holy Spirit. Nobody can take it away. But you see, to be baptized in the Holy Spirit is to put the bottle down and walk into the ocean, into the waves. Drench yourself. Cover yourself with the ocean. Isn't that a better option than drinking and keep inside? And that's what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is. That you will be drenched in the Spirit. And this will be the outpouring of the power that will empower you for your ministry. Because many people don't believe or don't see it, that they are in a church, but they're not part of the ministry. I know the bikers of church, but you even got a ministry at home. You've got a ministry where you work. You've got a ministry to your neighbors. You've got a ministry to that girl or that boy that works in your garden that cleans your house. That's also part of our ministry. You see, baptism of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18, it's God's will and His command that we be baptized with the Holy Spirit. He says, be filled with the Spirit. Now, normally, with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, people lay hands on. The Bible says it's biblical. We do it. But there's also corporate baptism of the Holy Spirit. And this is a beautiful experience, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because it's a free gift from God. And how do I receive baptism? First of all, you have to be saved and accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's first. It must be. And then in Luke 11:9 it says, ask and it shall be given to you. You need to ask God through Jesus Christ to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. We just need to ask. So this morning we're going to ask Him. Are you ready? I'm excited. I'm very ready. It's the doors that's open. All the gateways are open this morning, eh? Right. Okay, I think let us all just stand this morning. And I hope so far that you've got a clear picture of what infilling of the Holy Spirit and baptism of the Holy Spirit is. Now, what we can do is you can just this morning agree in your heart. And what is it? Paul, I want to pray this over you this morning, the prayer that he prayed for the Ephesians. And I come this morning as well. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. I also pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and His great power for us who believe. You see, that Ephesians 1 verse 70 to 20 says that power is like the working of His mighty strength, which He exerted in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him on the right hand side in the heavenly realms. Amen. Now let's come this morning. In your heart, I want you to, this morning, to really just focus this morning on this new beginning with the eternal end. And focus this morning on the baptism of the Holy Spirit and say, Heavenly Father, at this moment, I come to you. I thank you, Jesus, that you saved me. I pray that the Holy Spirit might come upon me right now. Lord Jesus, baptize me now in the Holy Spirit. Prepare me, empower me for my ministry. I receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit right now by the faith in your word. Now I pray that may the anointing, the glory, and the power of God come upon me and into my life right now, Jesus. May I be empowered now for the service from this day forward. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for baptizing me in your Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, we've asked him and we've received. Let's start this morning. Let's start practicing. We are. Just pray in your tongue. Just pray to the Lord. Glorify him this morning. We are right there. Just make his name big this morning in Jesus' name. Because an ideal place to begin it is right here. Where the first apostles were, that's where they done it. So this morning, like the upper room, Lord, we come and we just want to make your name great this morning in Jesus' name. The Lord says, come and tell me how much you love me. Thank him, worship him, and yield your voice to him this morning. Yield your voice to him this morning. Glorify him, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You see, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is more than a single experience. It's a continual dependence on the Spirit for guidance day by day in all your circumstances, in all your struggles daily. Father, we just come now. Lord, we come now and we want to give you the words of a new praise you've never heard before. We want to praise you with words, Lord. We want to praise you now this morning in our tongues, Lord. We want to tell you that you are the great God. Lord, you are the one that's opening the portals of heaven this morning. You are the one that's sending in the chariots of fire, the fire of the Holy Spirit upon this place this morning to bring a visitation to each and every person visiting here this morning in this place, Lord. Just come this morning, Lord. Encourage them. Uplift them. Ignite that fire of the Holy Spirit within them this morning. Lord, we praise you. We want to continue to pray to you, God, each day. Each day we want to do it. Lord, we come this morning and we want to thank you for the amazing Father that you are. What an amazing God we serve. What an amazing God. There will be victory in this place today. There will be victory in this place today. Yes, Lord, there will be victory in this place today. Amen.